This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Hello, welcome everybody. We're here on Center for Conscious Kids Live, and I'm Ashley Lee, and I'd like to introduce Ariane Batazzi. She's the CFO and owner of Carmel Mountain Preschool.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Me too.
It's so exciting. So tell me briefly, how did your preschool get started?
My parents, Dan and Pauline Kondrick, saw some open land in Rancho Penasquitos, which is a suburb of San Diego. And they purchased 3 acres in the 70s. And the land was zoned to either build a church, a retirement home, or a preschool. And they went with a preschool.
That's so awesome.
So they opened it in 1983. And at the time, Rancho Penasquitos was a just starting community. It was back when there was a lot of cow farms out there and all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
And I went there when I was a kid. My sister and my brother went there as well as children. And now my son goes there.
Wow. That's so amazing.
It's
you to grow up there and then to see the next generation go there too.
It is. It's really fun. Right now we have a lot of parents whose children are going there and they actually went to the preschool. So it's, and also a lot of grandparents that come to pick up their grandchildren.
Were the original parents.
That brought their children.
So wow.
They come in and reminisce. They're like, remember when this teacher and,
wow.
And it's changed a lot.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of the values of the preschool are very similar. We have 3 acres, so we have a lot of outdoor space.
Yeah.
And we really focus on utilizing that outdoor space to benefit the children.
And that whole space, is that 3 acres, is dedicated to the preschool?
Yep.
Wow.
We have a two-story building, and the rest is we have some very, very large playgrounds. Then we have a whole learning area that is called the Glen, and in the Glen there is a art studio, a science and nature lab, a large garden, and then also a tinkering area.
Wow. Wow. Can you explain a little bit about the tinkering area? That sounds fascinating.
We got the idea from a school up in San Francisco that works with older kids, and if you Google Tinkering San Francisco, there's a really good TED Talk about it. But what it is an area where children come to solve problems by building or creating stuff. So when you walk in, it's a whole bunch of like wood benches and tools and all that kind of stuff. And the children come in, and Mr. Brian, depending on their age, either can present them with a problem or teach them about using screwdrivers or whatnot. So he may say, hey, kids, today we have a problem that there's a big lake and we need to figure out how to get to the other side. What are we going to build or what are we going to create? And these can be ongoing projects and creations. So it could take a couple weeks, or it could just be something that they just do that day.
Wow.
And the projects vary from the age, because we serve children ages 18 months to about ages 5-6.
Uh-huh.
So you'd have a little easier project for the younger kids versus the older ones. But they're starting to learn to use tools at an early age, learning to work independently and collaboratively to solve problems at an early age.
Wow.
And then learning to trust themselves. So if you come to our preschool and you give a child a tool and they've been using it for a couple years, they're going to know how to use it. Whereas if you hand a 4-year-old a screwdriver and he's never seen a screwdriver, he doesn't know that he could stab himself with it or, you know, so they're learning how to use stuff at an earlier age.
That's so fantastic. Like, what would be one example of them learning to use tools and to create to solve a problem? What would that illustrate? What would that look like?
So maybe they're put to, maybe Mr. Brian puts together like a some kind of electrical board, and they have to make the light turn on. So they have to figure out how to switch the wires or whatnot to figure out how to make it work. But it also could be as simple as building with, this would not necessarily be in the tinkering area. This could be on our playgrounds. But if you were to give them some bricks and some water and some sand and some dirt, and they have to work together to figure out what the right consistency of the mud is, how much water and how much dirt that they need to mix together to make the bricks stack.
Wow.
And so they
make the mortar.
So they don't, yeah, so they make the mortar so they don't fall over. And then maybe they decide as a group that they want to create a bridge. So then they have to figure out the angles as a team, how they're going to make it, and they're going to fail. So they also learn about that it's okay to fail, and that you kind of have to get up and do it again, because it's that's what happens in real life. When real life, when I fail, my mom doesn't show up to fix it. I have to figure it out. And so we're teaching these children to learn how to overcome failure and create things and work together at a young age. So they're not having to do it at an older age where it's a lot harder to learn that.
Yes, exactly. Well, and it comes more naturally for them too when they learn it so young.
Yeah. And then also giving them, recently we had out Conscious Discipline is Dr. Becky Bailey out of Florida. We had them come out to our school to both coach our staff and our parents, which I highly recommend.
Wow.
But the one thing that they really talked about is that when children fail, you don't save them. Instead, you love them, let them know it's okay, let them know that they're safe, loved, and hugged. You sit and hug and give them love, and then let them try it again.
Exactly.
So
that's fabulous. Wow.
It's we'd love to have Conscious Discipline to come back out to San Diego, because her trainings for both parents and our teachers has been super, super helpful, and it's so alternative to, I think, the way that
a typical timeout program.
We don't believe in timeouts at Carmel Mountain Preschool.
All right. That's
at all.
Awesome.
But we haven't believed in that for a long time.
Yeah.
So when you ostracize and segregate a child, they don't they don't learn anything.
No. And then they suppress their feelings.
So they're taught to
and may act out later.
Yeah. They're taught that it's not okay to be upset.
Right.
So instead, so in a conscious discipline response, so if you were hitting your friend Phil,
right,
instead of coming up to Ashley and saying, "Ashley, that's not okay. We don't do that."
Right.
Conscious disciplines would say, "Well, why are you saying you don't do that? Clearly, you do it because you just hit him. So why are you saying we don't do that? You do that."
Right.
So instead, you would go to Phil and say, look at Phil's face. Look at his mouth. It's turned down. He's so sad. Look at his eyes. He has tears. Look, it really hurts him. And you would address the child that's been victimized first and say, Phil, you need to say to Ashley, put your hand up and say, "Stop, Ashley. I don't like that." And if he says, "Stop, Ashley. I don't like that," you have to keep coaching him and say, "Match my voice," because they have to learn how to not be aggressive, but also not be the victim, but instead...
And set boundaries.
And set their boundaries, but in a firm, clear voice.
Yeah.
And if they're too young, if they're 18 months, instead you help them use their words and maybe say, just teach them how to say stop. Versus he's, not, I mean, 18 months and 2 years or even 2.5, they're not going to say, "Ashley, stop. I don't like that."
Right.
And then to Ashley, "Ashley, look at how sad he is. Look at how, was that hurtful or helpful? Did that hurt him or was it helpful?"
Right.
And Ashley may be like my son, and he usually responds with, "That's helpful, Mama." I'm like, "No, it's not helpful to hurt someone. Explain to me why it's helpful or hurtful." And then we sit and talk it out.
Right.
So,
and you back up that timeline a little bit so that he understands what triggered him.
What triggered him.
Yes.
And then the one thing that... at that age, they may or may not know what triggered them, but you do communicate with them. So, Ashley, you hit Phil because you want that toy.
Right.
So instead, when you want a toy, you sit and tap him. "Hey, Phil, can I borrow that toy or can I play with that toy next?" And then communicate to Phil, "Phil, you have the choice." You can say, "No, you can't play with this toy. It's my toy right now. Maybe later."
Right.
But the children have to be able to make a choice about whether or not they want to share.
And it facilitates that conversation about getting their needs met.
Getting their needs met, and then also communicating to children that adults are not forced to share. If I want to borrow your shirt, right. If I say, Ashley, can I borrow your shirt?
Right.
You don't have to say, oh, yeah, here, let me give you your turn. So it's odd that we're teaching a two-year-old that when I want to borrow his truck that he just got, that right. We're telling him, oh, you have to share. You don't have to share. No one has to share.
Right.
We have to allow the children to make a choice so you right. can communicate with them like, you know, Ashley, it'd be really nice if you let me borrow that shirt because it'd look really good on me and I want to wear it to this birthday or whatnot. And same with the truck. Like, he really would like to take a turn with the truck and explain why that if you let him borrow the truck, then maybe he'll let you borrow his cement mixer or whatnot.
Right.
But instead of saying, like, you have to share, you don't have to share.
Right.
So
that's an excellent illustration of how you're working with the kids inside the classroom. That's just phenomenal.
I think one of the biggest things that both Dr. Becky Bailey and then there's another author called Tina Payne Bryson say okay. about children wow. is that when you're interacting with children is that your children's consciousness can only be as high as yours. So if you're angry, your right. child cannot be any better than angry. So it's our responsibility as all adults when we're interacting with children to find something to calm ourselves before we interact with children.
Right.
They're not going to be able to hear you if you're angry.
Right. So nurturing first.
Nurturing and taking breaths, calming yourself before right. you try and interact with them.
That's so phenomenal. And in such a big space, how many children do you have at the preschool?
We have 320 children enrolled. Wow. We have some kids that go 2 days a week, some kids that go 3 days a week, and some kids that go 5 days a week.
Wow.
So it's a big space.
And you said 19 classrooms?
We have 19 classrooms.
Wow. And what is a typical size for the kids? I mean, how many kids per classroom?
All of our classrooms, except for one, usually have around 12 kids. And okay. depending on their age, there's two teachers with 12 kids. If they're under the age of three and or not potty trained.
Uh-huh.
And once they're three and potty trained, then you typically have one teacher with 12 kids.
Okay.
With 12 kids.
Wow, those are great ratios. And it sounds like that you have a big staff too to help each other if you have needs that are independent in each, you know, classroom.
We have a large staff, and the nice thing is that we have specific teachers. We have a specific tinkering area teacher, Mr. Brian. We have an art studio teacher, Miss Julie, who is an artist on her own,
wow.
and then only teaches at our school 3 days a week. And her artist, her name's Julie Goldstein, and her art is phenomenal. She has.
Wow.
Wood prints, which I'm getting a great wood print for my house. It's a lot of women in the sea, and she likes to empower women and shows the history of women. And she actually collaborates to do wetsuits as well as other art, but she's pretty pretty incredible human being. And then we have Miss Erin, who used to work at the San Diego Zoo. And Miss Erin does nature lab and gardening. So she does composting with the kids. We have earthworms.
Wow.
All of our classrooms compost. So once or twice a week, she goes around the whole school with a couple kids and they collect all the compost out of the classrooms and then take it.
And then she teaches her about the whole worming cycle.
She does the whole worming cycle.
Wow.
She takes care of our chickens and our chicken coop. And then she also, we have a whole collection of different animals that she teaches the children about caring for them. And she teaches the children a lot about local animals and local plants so that if a child were to walk up to a snake, they know they're not going to – the only snakes they're allowed to touch are the ones that are kept in cages. Because if it's not kept in a cage, then the children are not allowed to – so teaching them the things that children need to know if they're out hiking or whatnot.
Exactly. Exactly. We actually get a fair amount of snake bites in San Diego County. I didn't realize that, but yeah, the kids are sticking their hands in holes that the snakes had made, and they didn't know that there's a rattler or something else in there.
Yeah, and the hard thing about San Diego is we do have a lot of rattlesnakes, and they can lose their rattles. So it's just for kids, it's better for them to not touch snakes or spiders, because we also have poisonous spiders in San Diego, a lot of black widows.
Yeah.
So the children get to
learn about those aspects in nature.
So,
and humbling respect. And
And the nice thing is the children are learning a lot about gardening. They're starting to eat things that they typically may not have access to or wouldn't eat at home because it's kale, or homegrown kale tastes a lot different than kale that you get from the grocery store. So they're starting to try and eat things that they may or may not eat at home.
Yeah.
And the children are cooking from the things that they're growing in the garden, and they're learning about gardening from a seed, which is very different. A lot of us who even have gardened have never gardened from a seed. We go and buy a six pack of plants that are already sprouting. So it's a little different learning experiences, and you have a lot more failure. So they're also getting to
a sense of that and understanding how to start again and do all those processes.
And that all of them aren't going to live. And they had that same experience when they hatched the eggs. We hatch eggs every year in the incubator.
That's so fantastic.
And it's one of the highlights of the children. They love hatching eggs. They love to see the chicks grow. They love to have them in their classroom. They love touching them. And right now they're loving the chickens in our chicken coop.
Wow. Wow. And so they actually participate in taking care of them?
Oh, yeah. They feed them, they water, and that is with all of our animals at Carmel Mountain Preschool. We have some snakes, we have some lizards, we have, hissing cockroaches. We have all sorts of different creatures, and the kids are busy taking care of them, learning how to handle them correctly, learning how to feed them, learning how to water them, learning how to clean up after them. And Miss Erin, who worked at the San Diego Zoo, has an amazing knowledge of how to teach the children how to do that. And Miss Erin offers different classes. She's offered a couple different classes at our preschool as well. She offered a free composting seminar maybe 2 months ago to teach anyone in San Diego that wanted to come about composting, and gave them the resources on how to get composting bins and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. That's fabulous.
It's fun having people at the preschool with very different education backgrounds that they're able to share with the children.
Wow. So on the horizon, where is Carmel Mountain Preschool growing to? What new projects do you have on the horizon? Because you sound very innovative and always growing.
Right now, our biggest one is the tinkering area that opens in June. And our chicken coop just opened. And then our biggest upcoming project is Eric Nelson from the California Caltech Preschool up in La Cañada, California, is helping us overhaul our three playgrounds to be outdoor classrooms.
Wow.
So that the children are able to have – it's been shown for many different scientific studies that our children are missing out on being grounded and having a connection with nature.
Mm-hmm.
So to take out the play structures and create playgrounds or play spaces where the children are able to explore more, they're able to have more safe risk.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to build
like safe climbing trees.
Exactly. So it's more of that if you're
hiding behind real bushes.
Hiding around real bushes, climbing on uneven surfaces, because it's more typical to real life. When a child goes to climb a mountain, they're not going to be offered a play structure made out of plastic and metal. They're going to be offered tree branches that are on rocks and different uneven surfaces and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing is that they need the grounding with all the electronics and social media that the children are bombarded with. They really need more time to connect to the earth and to play outdoors and to learn outdoors. They have such incredible learning outside. It's really hard when someone comes into the preschool and it's like, it just looks like they're playing. But what you don't understand is when they're playing, they are learning so much because they're interested in it.
Right.
So if you see a child playing in mud, You're like, oh, well, they're just playing and getting messy. But they're not. Right. They're figuring out exactly what consistency of and mixture of water and dirt makes the perfect mud. They're figuring out that when they splash their foot in the mud, how which way the mud flies. Right. And if they pick up some mud and throw it, they figure out what consistency of the mud do they need to make for the mud to fly at the best velocity. Like, there's a lot of learning. And
right,
they,
mud pies versus mud balls, right?
Yeah, mud pies versus mud balls versus mud castles versus if, you know, if they want to build something using some sticks with the mud, like what do they need to create differently?
Right.
So
wow.
They get so much learning from outside, and they can learn a lot of math from from playing outside. You can sit and talk to them about proportions and talking to them about fractions and have them do counting. They can learn about writing. You can set up a bird observatory, and they can sit and write about what they observed. And wow, that writing is going to be so much more natural for them, and also a better learning experience because it's something they're interested in and they're not tracing something and they're not copying a worksheet.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say one thing that is pretty neat is a lot of highly sensitive kids, or a lot of kids too that have some degree or other degrees of learning difficulties, actually probably very much thrive at your school because you interact so much with nature and you interact with so much with project-based and experiential learning versus sitting down, rote, and circle time, learning your ABCs, your 1, 2, 3s. You're learning that, but you're learning it in basis of real-world activities. And so a lot of these kids that have difficulty finding being in other preschools that aren't a good match or that don't really work well. So are a lot of your kids they can be the gamut, but are they fairly highly sensitive?
We see a wide variety. There's a couple of things that I've noticed is that it seems like a lot higher percentage of children have different sensitivity issues.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is
food based
and also the amount of screens.
Yeah.
And that is really hard because as a parent, I'm a parent myself, when I had my first child and I go to the store and it says, you know, this automated toy is going to teach my child how to read.
Right.
And there's so much false advertising, and every single parent wants to do what's best for their child.
Absolutely.
So you don't know until you actually do the research and realize all this automated stuff is the worst thing for our children.
Right.
What they need is connection and grounding. They need, one of the ladies that I saw at a NACI convention said that they did a study and they took a young baby and read her a book, and they connected electrodes to her brain and showed the brain activity when the mom read her the book.
Yeah.
And her whole brain lit up.
Right.
And they videotaped this.
Right.
And then they showed the child the exact videotape of her mom reading her the book, and nothing lit up.
Wow.
So when kids are that young, they need the connection in order to learn.
Right.
So they need to feel safe, they need to feel loved, and they need the connection. So it's really important for us to get rid of the screens and focus back to the basics.
Right.
Blocks, reading books, letting them play in the dirt, letting them play with cardboard, letting them play with creative stuff.
Right.
There's a book called Brain Rules for Babies, and there's a ton. The whole book is research-based, and the things that he says that are important for children are to feel safe. So to have like a loving, nurturing environment.
Right.
And
letting them express their needs.
Yeah. And really working on making sure that when you're interacting with your children, that you are in a safe place.
Right.
So you can't, as an adult.
Yeah.
Or a child, if I'm angry
right.
and I'm attacking you, you can't hear what I'm trying to teach you.
Right.
So it's the same way with children, that I need to breathe and get to a place where I'm in a good space before I can teach children anything.
Correct.
So I think that's one of the biggest responsibilities of any adults that interact with children is whenever you're interacting with your child, even if you need to take a break,
yep,
or get some help from a friend or your husband or your wife, you need to get to a good space before you interact with your child, because right, you're not helping them. You're making it worse for them.
Right.
So exactly, if they're super upset, you don't want to take them, you don't want to move them away or send them on a timeout. If they're upset,
right,
they're upset because their brains aren't developed enough and they're letting you know they need you.
Right.
They need something.
Right.
So if my son's, you know, on the ground having a fit, I'm not going to just say, oh, Finn, go to your room, go sit in the corner. Instead, right, it's like, oh, I need to come at him with a sense of compassion.
Right.
He's clearly upset and he needs something. So I pick him up and hug him and kiss him and let all of his tears get out, have him take some big breaths. And once he takes some breaths, he's able to calm himself.
Right.
And then at that point, when we are both calm and in a good place, is when he can learn the lesson. And I can say, you know, I understand that you wanted that toy at the aquarium, but we're not going to get a toy every single time.
Right.
So, and you have choices. You can learn how to go to the aquarium and leave without a toy, or we have a choice of not going to the aquarium. You make the choice. What's the best choice for you? And
yeah,
for our children, we really have to give them choices and,
right,
and come at them with a really loving, compassionate, you know, they're saying that a male's brain is not even fully developed till he's like 20 years old. And we're expecting a 2 and a 3 year old to,
right,
deal with not getting a shovel. It's kind of,
right,
it doesn't seem feasible.
Right. It's totally true. So, well, thank you so much for sharing. Is there something that the parents, what do the parents receive when they send their kids there? What do they experience when their kids go there for a year or two or three or four? And what do they walk away from? What do they talk about?
I think, you can always look at our Yelp reviews where they have like parents. I think parents' takeaway is maybe different than what we necessarily always want them to have as a takeaway, because
yeah,
the majority of parents don't have a whole lot of education in early childhood education. So
right,
for them, what I think they would say is that it's a super family oriented, safe environment. They love that we're constantly innovating and that we only serve organic food. We only use Dr. Bronner's soap at our school because I don't believe in poisoning children with
right,
antibacterial soap and all sorts of
right,
really gnarly products.
That's true.
We have diffusers in all of our classrooms with essential oils, so our rooms naturally smell better. We use Ozono, which naturally kills germs. So we do all these things to make a healthy, safer environment for the children. And then
wow,
we also really try and cut down the sugar with our snacks. We're only using organic food, and we try and limit the amount of processed and sugars that are served at our school. And I think they notice the difference in their behaviors, and
yeah,
they like that we allow the children to be children. And then we also do lots of family events. We offer free monthly yoga classes. You can find them on our website. And we also offer a variety of free family events. We have Hula Blue concerts. 2 months ago, we offered a conscious discipline seminar for parents.
That's amazing.
And that was huge. And conscious discipline also has a ton of free parent resources on their website.
Wow.
That is some really, really
yeah,
good information.
Yeah.
So we try and educate our parents. We try and provide them some help. And the other thing that we've really worked hard on as a school is to realize that parents are going to do what they're going to do, and they're doing what's best for their kid,
yeah,
whether or not we think it is or not. And we right, have to love and allow those parents to do what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
And then do the best that we can while their children are at school.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of – and then you were also talking about an initiative of creating an opportunity for other preschools to grow in a model or similarity to you. And so what would you say to people all throughout the world or the country about starting a preschool or being a part of a preschool, and what would you help them understand or know that implementing this particular idea is really wonderful?
One of the things I interact with a lot of other preschools. And in fact, we had about 30 preschools from all over the United States come out to visit our preschool about a month ago. And they came out to learn how they could implement art studios and science and nature lab and gardens at their schools. And I've also talked to a lot of preschools in San Diego about helping them change their menus from serving Cheez-Its and fruit punch to organic food.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the preschools are on such a budget and they're so worried about the cost to do all of these things. And my theory has always been, if you continuously innovate and create the best environment for children, it will always work out. So if your program's not full and you're spending money that you don't have to improve it, your program's going to start being full, or something always works out. If you really put it out there that you're trying to create the best space for kids, it always works out in the end. So I'm more than happy to share any of my resources with any of the preschools in San Diego and help them create like an organic food program in San Diego, because I do think it's so important. I'm more than happy to show them how to change out their antibacterial and really gnarly soaps with Dr. Yeah. Bronner's. Dr. Bronner's has been awesome, as well as I'm more than willing to help them work with Young Living to create start replacing all of their crazy room sprays and like air wicks and stuff that have shown that they cause cancer in children, and get those out of the classrooms and replace it with something that's safe for children.
Right.
One of the other things that we've done is we don't allow any spray sunscreens at our school. And we chose to do that because they're not safe for children. And the way that we've worded it, because some people do or don't believe that, is it's not safe for children and it damages our facility. But if it's damaging your floors and your walls, what is it doing to undeveloped lungs?
Right.
So so some of the things, it's hard to find the line between forcing what you think is safe for children mm-hmm. on a variety of parents
yeah.
and educating them, and then also respecting what their viewpoints are.
Right. Well, thank you so very much.
No problem.
Yeah, please. So just to complete our podcast, is there anything that you would like to say, or how parents can connect to you and the preschool? What's the best way for them to contact you?
Our website is www.carmelmountainpreschool.com, and there is so many free resources. If you go to the top and you scroll over to resources, you can click on free monthly family yoga, and anyone in San Diego is welcome to attend these events. And it also has free family events. If you are interested in enrolling in our school, you can also put click on the link for contact. If you're an educator, a director, or a preschool owner, and you want some resources, we have lots of activities. We have blogs that both parents and teachers can follow for lots of information on activities they can do at home or in their classroom. And I'm more than happy to help anyone in any way that I can. Most of the contacts and resources are kind of limited. Some of them are limited to Southern California, but I'm more than happy to share any resources. Anything that benefits kids, I'm good with.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And I wanted to let everybody know, thank you for coming and joining us today. And we will be back soon. Ariane will come back on later and give us more innovations on another podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. For more information on how to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families, visit our website at www.centerforconscious.com. That's www.centerforconscious.com. Join us again next week as we get a little bit more conscious and a little bit more centered, and we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.